Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. For the 2nd of December, I'm your host, Paul White. A brand new week. We have entered a new month, the final month of 2019. It's Monday. A new week is ahead of us. We have now passed Thanksgiving and are heading headlong towards Christmas. I know everyone's schedule gets crazy from here to the end of the year. I have a couple more trips in ministry. It's a little unusual in December. A lot of times they slow down. We had two more before the year is out. One this weekend, I go to the Alabama-Georgia state line right around Auburn, a place called Opelika. I'll be there on Friday evening. And then the next weekend, I'm in Minneapolis, actually Plymouth, Minnesota. That's in the Minneapolis area. I'm really excited about both of these trips. I've been to the Opelika meeting several times. I've never been to the Minnesota meeting, but I do know Pastor Peter Swart and the other guest speaker, Mark Testerman. I'm excited about being with these guys. And I know we have some people in that area who have been following our ministry, and I'd love to meet you. I know it's a busy time of year. I'm praying for you. I hope you're praying for me. I'm praying favor on our audience and rest and peace going into this holiday season, that you have a real revelation of the love of God. It is that thought that moves me today, that idea of a revelation of the love of God, and it does so because of where we are in our journey through Corinthians. Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, we've arrived in the latter portion of the 13th chapter, where Paul has told us that love never fails. And as I said yesterday, it's Paul saying love never loses altitude. What goes up must not always have to come down, not when love's the subject. It goes up and doesn't come down, and God is just like it. Then there's the conjunction, but, and it looks as if verse 8 should maybe stand on its own, but considering the fact that the next several phrases show you things that will fail, then what the translators are doing is showing you what won't fail, love, versus what will fail. And Paul uses some of the things he has talked about in the previous chapter. What I mean by that is, remember, chapter 12 consists of various gifts, ministries, and activities. These include, but are obviously not limited to, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations. These are the things Paul lists off in the first part of chapter 12 and the last part of chapter 12. And then he begins to contrast those things with what he calls the more excellent way at the end of 12, and that is the way of love. He opens 13 by telling you you could do all of the previous things, specifically speak with tongues, but if you don't love, then you're sounding brass. You could prophesy, you could have words of knowledge, but if you don't, and you could even have the gift of faith, but if you don't love, you're nothing. You could give, you could self-sacrifice, but not be profited if you failed to love. Then a list of all the things that love does, and a list of things that love doesn't do, and then a return to the things that we talked about in chapter 12. Prophecy will fail, tongues will cease, knowledge will vanish away. And this is a verse that has been taken to mean that there will come a time when people will never need to prophesy or speak in tongues or have words of knowledge, and that whatever that specific time is, whether you believe it's in the past or in the future, it is a time when all of the gifts will cease. This has led some to teach things like the gifts, ministries, and activities of the Spirit are no longer relevant. They no longer exist. I don't agree with that, and I'm going to tell you why. Based on this scripture, I don't think that Paul is trying to list off things that someday will not be around. Paul is trying to contrast the permanence of love with the impermanence of man's gifts, ministries, and activities. You will vanish away, and when you do, so does prophecies and your tongues and your knowledge. They will all cease. Love will not vanish away. What you produce in love continues to thrive. Prophecies, knowledge, and you could list off anything. Paul lists off three. He doesn't list them because they will be specifically the ones that cease. But within the greater context of what's happening, he takes three things that he's already mentioned are part of the workings of the Spirit and contrasts them to the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, this is where if we forget context, we miss the point. The 31st verse of chapter 12, which was the last verse of chapter 12, Paul closes by saying, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. So Paul's trying to establish that the fruit of the Spirit, namely love, is more excellent than the gifts, ministries, and activities of the Spirit. And the reason for that is the gifts, ministries, and activities of the Spirit do not have the permanence that love does. It's not a Pauline prophecy that all of this stuff is going to end as much as it's a prophecy that love isn't going to end. Don't forget the object. The object of this passage is not the gifts, ministries, and activities. The object of this passage is love. If you're focusing on the gifts, ministries, and activities, you're missing the object of this chapter. It's a chapter about love. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And this has led to interpretations, and I have been, this is an interpretation that I adhered to for a long time, and that was that when Jesus comes, because I would say Jesus is that perfect one, when Jesus comes, then all of that stuff will cease. And that led me to wranglings over the fact that Paul has been prophesying of the end of an era and that Jesus came in judgment. And if he came in judgment, then should all of those things have ceased? And I think it was me missing the forest for the trees. I think that, first of all, it is not that which who, it's not when who is perfect comes, but that which is perfect has come. And it would be smart of us to figure out what the New Testament considers to be a perfect thing. 1 John chapter 4 is a chapter about love, corresponding beautifully with chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians is not specifically talking about Jesus, it's talking about love. So why all of a sudden would Paul drop out of talking about love to talk about Jesus with no warning? I don't think he is. I think it should look something like this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. The work of perfect love is to free you from the fear of torment. The word better translated there is punishment. Perfect love frees you from the fear of punishment. John says it has been perfected among us in this. But that is a has-been that is because Christ has already taken care of our judgment. But what we're doing is we're living this out, and many of us are still fearing punishment and torment, and therefore are not walking in the perfection with which love has made us. I think that's the correct application to the perfection in 1 Corinthians 13. I want to build on that thought starting right there tomorrow, and I'll see you then. God bless.